Greetings, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that unquestionably challenges you to think outside the box of convention and to explore with me and my great guests the many other possibilities available in the free thought zone. That's where we will journey to today during the program. Everything is available to us. No holding back. We are not mainstream. We are the alternative truth. And thank you for being part of that truth. So stay tuned. Here we go. Get ready for another hour of out there information. And hello, everybody. This is Patricia Corey, your host for Beyond the Matrix. I am talking about out there information. It is a real challenge to get this show on the air today. Oh, boy, intervention. No wonder, considering who I've got on and what we're going to be talking about it. You know, I'm getting used to this. It never stops surprising me, but I am getting used to the fact that there will be intervention whenever you push the buttons of those who are pulling the strings of humanity. And we'll be talking about that directly. That's the subject of the hour, transhumanism, with the wonderful and always controversial Alfred Labermont Weber. I wouldn't have it any other way. Alfred, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm very happy to be with you once again.
Thank you, Alfred. Thanks for coming back on. I see that my second guest, who you have asked me to include, Melanie Richin, has also made it on, which is wonderful. We are going to be talking today about transforming the human condition by developmental technologies that are supposedly about enhancing the human attributes of psychology, biology, and whatever, all the other aspects of being human. And we're going to be talking about whether that is ethical, moral, or just overall good for the human race. So thank you, Alfred, for being back on. Just a quickie, of course, to introduce Alfred. Oops, did I lose the line? No, we're still on. Okay. Alfred Labermont Weber is an author, lawyer. He's a member of the District of Columbia Bar. He's a futurist, a peace activist, an environmental activist, a space activist, and very concerned about promoting the ban of space weapons. He was a co-architect of the Space Preservation Treaty and the Space Preservation Act that was introduced to the U.S. Congress by Dennis Kucinich, who many of you know. And he has helped draft the citizen hearing in 2000 with Stephen Bassett, and he served as a member of the Board of Advisors. Alfred is also on the Board of Advisors at the Exopolitics Institute. He is the Congressional Coordinator for the Disclosure Project. He's a judge on the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, and they've been busy. We'll talk about that, too. And he's also the International Director for the Institute for Cooperation in Space. I would suggest that that is a very qualified human being. We also have Melanie Richin, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, who is from the European Coalition Against Covert Harassment. And, you know, I'm feeling a little bit harassed at the moment. So I'm sure that the setting is right to embark on this conversation. So thank you both for being with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you. Nice to speak with you, Mel. Okay, Alfred, where do we begin? I have to come on and talk about the transhumanist agenda. We have to maintain a positive, let's say, not in La La Land, but we have to find solutions and present information that is helping people deal with these very overwhelming aspects of transition at this time. So let's talk about the latest things that you want to bring to the foreground. And I know that we will also be talking with Melanie about what's been going on there with her work with Morgellons. So I don't know how to, with two people.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to get out what the agenda is, and some of the data that I've learned. I've been tracking this over the past 40 years. since I was targeted by electromagnetic weapons in the 70s when I was director of the 1977 Carter White House Extraterrestrial Communication Study. And that was the earlier generation of weapons, which were electromagnetic. But now, what I've learned over the past 3 months since I interviewed the experts at EUCACH, at the European Coalition, of which Melanie represents, she's the head of their Brussels office, is that there's a new generation that has come in, which has gone from electromagnetic weapons to advanced scalar technologies, to super quantum computers, to a quantum cloud, to a super grid of over 1,000 grids connected to HARP, with the aim of a global coordinated mind control of a growing population of robotized humans. So this is like, what is going to be our future path? Are we going toward a positive future, toward landing heaven on earth, or are we going toward a dystopia, toward landing hell on earth? And we should be aware, as conscious beings who are working toward a positive future, that there's a determined force which is attempting to robotize the human race under global controllers, and to do this with a high degree of technology that can really draw upon, really challenge us as human beings and challenge our very soul. So it's part of our soul agenda here on the planet, and they are very real solutions. But first, we have to talk about
the problem.
Talk about the problem openly.
Okay. And, can I interrupt yeah. you here and ask you the first question that I would like to explore is, of course, we'll need to talk about what exactly is a scalar wave, because many people don't know what you're talking about. But in your opinion, what is the purpose of bringing the human race into a collection of robots? I mean, how do you understand this agenda to have roots?
Yeah, this is basically whether this planet will be a satanic planet under the control of dark spiritual forces, or a planet under the control of the light, and whether our souls will have connections to the upper dimensional and divine inspirations that come in, and the global or cosmic purpose of this agenda is in not only my opinion but in the opinion of many analysts, to essentially cut off the divine connection of humanity to its divine sources. For example, the ultimate purpose of HARP and chemtrails is to interfere with the thin silvery cord that goes out of your crown chakra into source, which is non-local. So you cannot draw down those inspirations. So what your brain and your mind is getting is the programming and the software which is being loaded in to the HARP system, which is from a diabolical New World Order.
Right, but what are they going to do with 7.5 billion robots?
Well, they can manage them, and they can bring them down to 500,000, and this planet is kept out of the divine order. It's a way of defeating the divine planet for the galaxy, for the universe, and for the multiverse.
If you believe in the divine order, you know that there cannot be separation from divinity, right? I mean, even the darkest forces still have somewhere in their little dark black essence there has to be a spark of light. Otherwise, we cannot believe that we are all sparks of light from source, right?
Well, not necessarily. There's a thing called duality consciousness and unity consciousness. And what you're talking about is unity consciousness. And the essence of duality consciousness is I win, you lose. And one of the versions of this quadrant of the galaxy and this solar system and this planet is that essentially there was a rebellion in this planet against the universe administration, which means sort of the divine order, and that what we have is sort of one of the last bastions of that order here at the exopolitical level. It manifests with the rollout, say, of the Draco reptilian Orion Gray agenda, but even deeper than that, it manifests with Luciferian and ultimately dualistic dualistic consciousness, which
right.
is battling for control of the planet. It's like a scorched earth policy. And
right, but Alfred, there cannot be a in the divine plan.
Uh huh.
If duality of this extremity exists, if one is to believe in prime creation, a divinity, an all that is, don't we compensate for the extreme dark as part of that divine wisdom that for some reason exists to help us discover the I am consciousness? I mean, this is pretty much the basis of many esoteric beliefs.
Yeah, but you see, there still is, this is a free will universe. So there still is free will. And the essence of the spiritual battle that's going on is that the Luciferic and Satanic forces, in conjunction with the exopolitical interveners, the Draco reptilians and the Orion Greys, in conjunction with the New World Order forces, they're exercising free will. And so they're saying no. That is why these battles continue, is because of free will, and why they've continued for so long is because of free will. There may be realizations back and forth on each camp, but as long as the forces of duality consciousness have free will and continue to want to have a scorched earth policy and keep as many people in unconsciousness as possible and, you know, under a depopulation policy, then they will. And that's what they're attempting on the planet. And one of the mechanisms that they're using, which we can prove, is advanced covert mind control technology, which we have to, and which the European Union, which Melanie represents, the European Coalition Against Covert Harassment, is trying to make people aware of what is happening.
Okay, let me intercede here and ask you, Melanie, to tell us a little bit about UCATCH and what your agenda is and what you're up against.
Yes, hello. First of all, thank you very much, Patricia, for having me on your show.
It's an honor.
Yes, so the European Coalition Against Covert Harassment was recently founded in Stockholm. We are actually raising awareness to the crime of non-consensual implantation, experimentation on individuals using modern cybernetic technology, remote influencing technologies. And in an effort to prove these crimes, we have been collecting scientific data for years. We're doing this in conjunction with an organization which I also, you know, where I'm also on the leadership team, which is called the International Center Against Abuse of Covert Technologies. And in the framework of this organization, I mean, we were collaborating. We had today an event. That's why I'm speaking to you today from England, from Blackpool in Lancashire, where we had actually members of the public that can come to us that we tested for radio frequency image missions. And this is in an effort to prove that these people have non-consensually been implanted with these remote influencing technologies. And this is what we did today. We do these scannings regularly. And I must say the results are pretty... let's say corroborating. Shocking. Yeah, shocking. Yeah.
I remember reading somewhere that it was something like 42% of the people tested had evidence of radio transmissions. Is that correct?
52, in fact. Oh. So over 50%. That was last year in a radio frequency scanning that we organized in London. And today we're not finished yet with the scanning. So we had about 30 people that came to get scanned. Today we focused on the ones that had to go back tonight. So we scanned 10 people. And I just got the results from my colleague who scanned them. There were, 10 members of the public were scanned, 5 women, 5 men. And the age range was, there was one person from 20 to 30 years, one from 30 to 40, 5 from 40 to 50, 2 from 50 to 60, and 2 from 60 to 70. And the countries were, we had 7 UK participants, 1 from Portugal, 1 from the Netherlands, and 1 from Canada. And the results we got, so all of the 10 people that were scanned today were positive. And the areas where we find them, because we have scanned so many people now that, and we have realized that this is not random, where most of the time it's the left and right TMJ area, the sinuses, the thyroid, the crown of the head, and the spine.
Okay, but let me...
So 100% that was of the people that scanned, came today to be scanned were positive.
Okay, so to those of us who are not familiar with this technology, when you say they're scanned positive for radio transmissions, what are you mm-hmm. telling us? That they're being implanted with nanoparticle and some kind of nano transmission equipment? I have no clue what
yes.
is being implanted.
We cannot say that it's proof, but we say that it's circumstantial evidence.
Okay.
That means that the human body normally does not give off radio frequencies. I mean, the human body has electromagnetic potential, like, you know, the brain, the heart, but they do not give off radio frequencies, emissions. So what we do is we scan the body with a detector for radio frequency emissions, to see if at several anatomical focus points we can measure an emission coming from the person, but we do not consider this proof yet because you know we're living in a electromagnetic environment basically. So what we do is usually we scan the body and the person and we ask them to step back from the antenna and come back again to the, you know, towards the detector. And what we usually find is that once the person is stepping towards the antenna, the detector goes off. And when he or she steps back, it stops. So this is the first phase, in fact, of our scanning protocol. We then ask the people that come up positive, because we must say not everybody comes positive. I mean, the rates we're finding are extremely high, but, you know, there are also, not everybody comes positive, fortunately. The ones that do come up positive, we then ask them to help us provide medical imagery, like in form of an MRI scan, CT scan, or a digital panoramic X-ray, to see if we, because the only way that we can find, the only chance we have to detect this technology, if the technology is old technology, actually. With nanotechnology that you just mentioned, it's almost virtually impossible to see this on the medical imagery that we currently have available. So, but if there's old technology, which means basically an implant and that has the, it's not very big, but it's like the size of a grain of rice, to see if we can, if we can match that up. So it means where the emission came from this anatomical focus point, if we can see on the MRI scan or a CT scan, same thing that we call an unidentified bright object, which is basically a chip, to see if that matches up, you know, but this, we can have only got the chance of it's older technology. The modern nanotechnology, you cannot detect it like that.
I have seen images of these little, almost microscopically sized little beads that are the new nanotechnology, which are so small they look like not even the size of little seeds. They're Are these the new technology that you're speaking about?
Yes, there are really nano sizes, and there's currently no medical imagery available that you can detect that with.
And so we could be breathing them from the chemtrails.
Yes, and indeed. So there's very serious indication that this nanotechnology is also in the chemtrails. But to finish this off, then we do what we did today, so the full body scan in a controlled environment, which is basically a Faraday cage. We scan, the ones that came up positive again, and that we did recently in Belgium in a research facility of people that we scanned, of a group of 14 people that we scanned in London the year before that came up positive. We scanned them again, and they came up positive also within the Faraday cage at the exact same points where they came up in the preliminary scan. And then to substantiate the finding, we also had a control group. These were people that were selected, at random, volunteers, that did not have any signs or symptoms that are generally associated with electronic terrorism. We scanned these as well, and there was nothing could be measured, and the frequency counter basically showed zero. So we also, with ISAACT, because UKETCH and ISAACT are working very closely together, we have also two physicians on our board, Dr. John Hall and Dr. Edward Spencer. Dr. Edward Spencer is a neurologist. And we showed them the results, and they considered that this was conclusive evidence to say that these people were non-consensually implanted with these remote influencing technologies.
Wow. Okay. Now, what I'm curious about, and I'm sure that you've thought about this, is, and I'd love your opinion too, Alfred, the people that are not, what is the difference in behavior between the people that are showing up in your earlier tests as positive for these frequencies and those who are not? I mean, some people on this planet are awake and the majority of people are asleep. Now, my question is, what is the behavior indication in this study, and are you seeing that the people that are not coming up as positive are in somehow more awake, more aware of what's going on?
The people that do not come up positive, you said?
Yes.
Well, actually, the people that we scan, usually when they come to us, they actually believe they have symptoms, they're symptomatic. That means, and I come in a moment to what these symptoms may be, that means that they believe that, this is what could be happening to them. The symptoms that people usually experience that have been non-consensually implanted are various, extreme pain all over the body, terribly, pressure headaches, audio symptoms, which means tinnitus, you know, tinnitus, excuse me. Or there's a technology that is called voice to skull, where you're able to give audible commands to the person, you know, when the implants are in the ears. Electroshock sensations.
Wow.
Yes. As I said, various pain.
These people are reporting having these symptoms?
Yes.
Ten out of ten people?
Yes. The people that came to us, they are generally symptomatic. They have these kind of symptoms, and they all report the same symptoms. The people that we scanned that were negative, as I said, they were volunteers. They did not have any of these symptoms that are generally associated with electronic terrorism, and they came up negative. There was nothing we could measure, you know. So,
okay, can either one of you answer this question? How does this relate with the phenomenon of the humming that we're hearing at various points and locations around the planet? Can you answer that, Alfred?
Yeah, in fact, I was asked. I was asked. About that, I think it was at the beginning of 2012, and at that time there were several hypotheses that were coming up. One was an astronomical hypothesis, and that is that the Earth was entering into was entering into what's known as the photon belt, and that the increased frequencies that the Earth was encountering was producing these noises.
But not everybody hears it.
Yeah. Now the other hypothesis was that this is a form of psychological warfare by the New World Order government against the human population using HAARP. And there's 17 HAARP installations around the world, and HAARP is essentially an environmental weapon of mass destruction, and it involves using a ground station to ionize the uppermost layer of the atmosphere known as the ionosphere. And that can be used as a kinetic weapon, a directed energy weapon, either outward, you know, towards space, because the ionosphere is the interface between the atmosphere and outer space, or it can be used inward as a directed energy weapon, and you can pinpoint it down to take out one person or take out a city. With the versatility of HAARP, certainly they could create these types of sounds by playing on the atmospheric currents.
Sure.
So those are two of the hypotheses that I put forward publicly at the time. I haven't gone more deeply into the issue since then.
Okay, but one thing you mentioned earlier that I'd like to ask you is you said that you were under attack, electronic attack, time back.
Yes.
And what was that like, and how did you survive?
Yeah, well,
and why are you still able to openly discuss, given that you were a target, how do you account for the fact that you're still openly advocating against that, the power?
I'm advocating because I am a target, or have been a target.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, given that you are a target of mind control,
I, I have been. I was at a period in my life.
How did you survive this and overcome it?
Okay. That is all set out in my Disclosure Project affidavit, which was sworn to on August 30th, 2000, and is now a matter of public record in the Disclosure Project records. And these attacks began when I was director. I was a futurist at Stanford Research Institute in the spring and fall of 1977, and I was director of the proposed Carter White House extraterrestrial communication study. I had received approval for this study from appropriate staff of the Carter White House and a number of leading scientists who were on board as advisors. And it started when I was in the E-ring, in the inner ring of the Pentagon, having a meeting with an assistant secretary of defense of the Carter administration. And as I was meeting with him in the anteroom waiting, his executive assistant picked up a newspaper that she was reading and held it up at me as I was sitting there waiting to go in. And written on the outside of the newspaper, this is inside a formal, huge office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense, were three words, S-E-X, sex, boom. And so I looked at it, and I instantly knew that there was a mind control operation that had been set against me, because I had been researching all of these subjects for a time since 1973. I had been involved in research in this area, and in 1976, I had been called by Congressman Henry B. Gonzalez to Washington to assist him in setting up the House Select Committee on Assassinations to investigate the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X. And the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, for example, involved mind control, in the sense that they used assassins under the MKUltra program. So I suddenly saw that I had been lured into a mind control trap. And
wow.
As that was happening, there were directed energy weapons hidden somewhere in the office, and I was bathed in these frequency weapons, which were intended to disorient me. And I knew what was happening, so I just I'm kind of a Jedi Knight, you know. So I just went in my inner self. I'm a spiritual warrior. So what you do is you just center yourself and you go deep in your soul, because they cannot reach the non-local soul area. And you just go in. So I went through my meeting with the Assistant Secretary of Defense, and did not reveal anything. I don't know whether he was a conscious part of it. And I went back to my hotel. I was staying at the hotel that's directly across from the White House. It's called the Hay Adams. And then the King Tut exhibit was at the time in New Orleans, traveling in New Orleans, and also my brother was studying architecture at Tulane, so I decided to fly down to see my brother and also to see the King Tut exhibit. And when I went to the airport, the Washington, D.C. airport, there was a squad of mind control agents there. They had suits, dark eyeglasses, pork pie hats, and in their ties, their tie clips were rifles with telescopic sights on them. And I was sitting in the waiting room, and I was hit with electromagnetic weapons in the airport waiting room, and there were about four agents, and they all kind of tried to crowd in on me, i.e., attempted to abduct me. And I was holding my tennis racket because I brought my tennis racket to Washington to play tennis, and I pulled that out as kind of a, you know, martial arts weapon, and I kind of held them off, and we had a kind of a standoff there. None of the other passengers knew what was happening. If you look at the movie The Matrix, it's kind of like that. That's what was happening.
And so you're saying that you were able to hold off electromagnetic technology with a tennis racket, Alfred?
No, I'm saying I held off the four ground agents with my racket while I was being doused with electromagnetic energy.
Right.
You have to be a martial artist to survive this stuff. Then I landed in New Orleans with my brother, and I was supposed to have a meeting the next day with Jim Garrison, the former district attorney of New Orleans, who had investigated the John Kennedy, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. We're going to meet at the New Orleans Athletic Club. And so my brother, my architect brother, and I went to the King Tut exhibit. And as soon as I got into the exhibit, it was like, pow! I mean, my mind was like reeling. I was just like super targeted. And I was so like knocked out that I had to call and cancel my meeting with Jim Garrison for the next day. And when I flew out of Moisant International Airport, the New Orleans airport, the next day, again, I was doused, and they had agents, and they had military people meet me in the San Francisco airport there, you know, who were, you know, and then when I got to Stanford Research Institute, I was under constant surveillance. And right after that, the Pentagon liaison to SRI called a high-level meeting at SRI, at Stanford Research Institute, to which I was invited. And they stated that if the Carter White House extraterrestrial study went forward, the Department of Defense would cancel all of their studies, which SRI, which was about a quarter of their budget, or $25 million out of a $100 million annual budget, which in 1977 was a huge amount of money.
So you're saying is that the Pentagon was overriding the White House's desire
to pursue this. And they said because there are no UFOs. So that's, and all of this is in my affidavit, my sworn affidavit.
And so, where can people find that to read that? So that, because we don't have that much time to elaborate it.
Yeah.
Is it on your website?
It's in the Disclosure Project book, and there are articles on my website about the study. You can go to exopolitics.com and look up 1977 Carter White House Extraterrestrial Communication Study.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let's talk now about, there's so much to ask. I mean, I would like to know, to be able to help people understand, because people are going to come away from this interview wondering if they're obviously targeted or are also carrying these frequencies, is how do people know or have a sense that they're being either attacked, as in your case, Alfred, or as Melody described, they came in with symptoms. So what do we tell people about, first of all, how to know if this is an issue? And, well, obviously, if you're being bombarded with electromagnetic frequencies, you've got some clue. But I want to come away from this interview with suggestions for what people can do to shield themselves as much as possible from this phenomenon. Who would like to answer that question?
Yeah. Why don't I hand that question over to Melanie?
Okay.
Okay, well, in UCATCH, we're looking, we're researching, you know, and we're looking into shielding technologies. But as Alfred was saying before, we now have, indications that actually the technology that they're using now is hidden technology by that was by Nikola Tesla. And these are scalar waves. I can only say that we have, you know, as you said, when you're hit by some kind of radiation and bombarded with directed energy weapons, you know, you have some clue that this is happening to you. But the thing is that with scalar waves, in fact, there's no way to shield you because we had several individuals that tried to do something to protect them from this radiation attacks. And for example, one person that flew intercontinental saying, okay, well, you know, if I'm that high and up in the air, that they won't be able to hit me there. There was no difference. Another person went down in Sweden in a mile, I don't know how deep down, and there was still, you know, he was still targeted. So there is currently, you know, everything works with scalar waves, if it really is scalar waves, because there are different opinions. But until now, we have not found any way to shield you from these technologies. And I must say, personally, today I, whilst my colleague was scanning, I was interviewing actually individuals that victims to, you know, to hear a little bit of their stories. And there were two stories that particularly touched me. One was of a gentleman that was actually a victim since he was 6. It seems that the stepfather was involved in the military, and he was regularly taken to some experiments. He said that he remembered being strapped into a chair and being shown all kinds of satanic images, really, really terrible things. And there was somebody who came up to him, and he was a child, and he was absolutely terrified. And he said, "Well, sir, are you the devil?" And he said, "Well, no, I'm not the devil, but I'm somehow like a helper or assistant of the devil. And I can tell you, once we have you, we have you here, we're not gonna let you out of this ever. So either you're gonna, which is the case of many victims, we're gonna have you have a heart attack. You're gonna have die from a heart attack." Or you're gonna commit suicide later when you're older, or we're gonna have you committed to a mental hospital, or somebody's gonna kill you, and if all this doesn't work, well then we're gonna give you cancer. And I think he was now between 40 and 50. And personally, I was absolutely shocked because he's been going through this his whole life and he's still targeted. And regarding shielding technologies, at least from scalar waves technologies, if it's really scalar waves, and there's certainly a lot of indication that this is what they're using, there's no protection. They go right through the earth. Somebody could beam you sitting in China and you're in England, and you could be.
Okay, but if scalar waves are being used around the planet, they're also being they're zapping the so-called people who are actually using the technology. So what's the shield? Why would they be using technology that's, I'm playing the devil's advocate here, no pun intended, that they would also be zapping themselves with such global technology such as this? So I don't get it. Do you?
Well, our director, general manager Magnus Olsen, was just interviewed by Russia Today by a journalist who's called Daniel Esterlin, and the interviews on our website. And as he stated at the end, these are really weapons of mass destruction. And so the intent is, first of all, to control us because they can't handle the current world population. And then certainly to depopulate the planet. And you're saying very rightly, Patricia, of course this affects everybody. You could just have to look what the current cancer rates, people having cancer all over the world is just exploding.
But what about them? The very people that are, we don't even know who they are and we don't even know if they're people, but the ones that are using this scalar mass destruction technology against the human race are also using it against themselves and their children. So the question that arises in many minds is, don't they recognize that they are destroying themselves as well? Or is there some shield that they have because they don't have the same chromosomes as human beings?
Maybe they do. I cannot answer that. It is certainly insane. But to use this, I must say, I believe that really our world is currently ruled by extremely incredibly sick people,
Yeah, I'd like to, unfortunately, believe it or not, we are almost at the end of the show. And I'm glad that you said that because I will never close a show without some ray of hope because that's what the show is about. Look at the stuff, understand it, and then rise above it. So I would like to say to both of you and to everyone who's listening, that what Alfred said about going into the soul was very profound. I wish we'd had more time to elaborate that. But I loved what he said about being a spiritual Jedi and going deep, deep into the soul where nothing can reach you. And remember absolutely that there is a great resonance from fear. You draw all this into you, regardless of the technology, regardless of the acute developments in these fields. Remember that some people are going to be affected and others are not. And in my humble opinion, and as a channel for the Syrian High Council, I am guided to say that it has everything to do with that fearlessness, that spiritual Jedi that Alfred touched upon, and your inevitable understanding that regardless what transpires on this planet, and I hope I'm going to get a Yahoo from you, Alfred and Melanie. Remember that this is only an illusory field. You're just passing through here. Whether the planet ascends, whether you die and pass on to another state of being, this is just a passing place. So do what you can to stay out of the fear zone, to understand and look at everything that's happening around you and stay empowered because despite the darkness that's unfolding, so is the light. Agreed, Alfred? Alfred? Did I lose you?
I think we lost Alfred, yeah.
Oh, well.
But I agree. The light will prevail.
The light will prevail. Oh, well, then, Melanie, I'll thank you personally, and my thanks to Alfred. Oh, here he comes. He's coming back. Are you back, my dear Alfred? Oh, well, okay. I hope he's at least hearing this. The light will prevail, and you will prevail because you're an eternal being. So whatever drama is playing out in this planet, right now I'm sitting in the middle of paradise on an island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, where there are no chemtrails, where the sky is blue, the earth is flower blooming. It's a joy to be alive, and I make that happen for myself by taking myself to the beauty. So as much as I am a warrior too, and I am determined to understand what's happening, I make my world beautiful. And with that thought, I would like to thank Alfred, who has been a recurring guest on my show, and I've been on his, a noted speaker and researcher for so many of these concerns, and to my new friend and colleague, Melanie Richan, her website, it's UChat, right?
Yeah, youcach.org.
Youcach, sorry. Okay, so it's EUCACH.org. I had hoped to talk about what happened in her organization to people that were being assisted against the horrific Morgellons. Would you be willing to come back on, Melanie? We'll talk about that for the hour.
Sure, it would be a pleasure.
Great. So there you go, exopolitics.com, Alfred Weber, and EUCACH.org for the wisdom and information coming out from Melanie and her team. And to all of you, thank you. Thank you very much, Melanie, for coming on.
Thank you for having us on tonight.
And to all of you listening, just remember, you've been listening to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that challenges you, invites you, dares you to think outside the box and soar with the eagles in the free thought zone. And remember, no matter what the technology is, stay in fearlessness, stay in your power, celebrate beauty, and remember that you're just coming through this joint, this beautiful planet, for just a quick visit on your way to another aspect of your being. This is Patricia Corey. I love to sign out by saying, nanu, nanu. That's it for today. I'll be back with you next week at a 9 p.m. show. Goodbye, everybody. Take good care.